We begin the current Daf Masechta Sukkah, Daf Lamed Beis. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah from the beginning of the Perek from Daf Chav Tes Lamed Beis. So the Mishnah told us there are two similar cases of lulav, one being kosher, one being pasul. And that is, as the Mishnah said, nifritu olav, if the leaves are detached, then the lulav is going to be pasul. However, nifritu olav, if the leaves are just separated, then such a lulav is going to be kosher. So the Gemara explains exactly what these terms are. Amra Papa, nifritu. When we said that the leaves are torn, the avet ki chufya is that the lulav was made like a broom, which people use to sweep up a house, which they would make from the leaves of a lulav, which were torn off from the spine, from the shedra, which were then tied together as one. That's how they would make those brooms to clean up. That's essentially what the lulav was like, which although it was attached, because it was tied together, but its nifritu was already detached and then tied together onto the spine, to the shedra, that's going to be a lulav that's pasul. Nifridu, when we said that if it's separate, then it's going to be kosher, is the ifrud ifrudi, is that the tops of the leaves from the lulav are separated. And that is, they don't go straight up together, straight with the spine. But on the bottom, they are attached to the shedra, to the spine. So though they separate, however, since they're still attached, they're not detached and then tied together like it is by nifritu. Since they're attached, therefore such a lulav is going to be kasha. Now relating to these halachas, Rav Papa asked the following question. Nechalka ha-tiyumis. Mahu, what's the halacha? Now, the tiyumis is when the shedra, which is the middle of the lulav, which is basically a branch from the lulav tree, from the palm tree, when the spine goes up, it's in the middle, it continues going till where it narrows, where it's not anymore a spine that has the different leaves coming out of it. It actually turns into a middle leaf. Now, and that goes all the way to the top. That's the top of the lulav. Now, that middle leaf is made up of two leaves. Now, and then if let's say that tiyumis, which Rashi explains the reason why it's called tiyumis from the term of tu'umim, of twins, because it's these two leaves that are attached to each other that are exactly the same. If they split, and they split all the way down to where the spine is, where the leaves come out from it, if that splits down, what's the halacha? And that the Gemara says, Toshma, come in here, and that is, although we explained on the previous daf from Rav Huna, that if there's nistak, it's going to be kosher. If the top of the lulav is split, it's going to be kosher. Here we're talking about specifically not just the top leaves, we're talking about the middle leaf, which is more prominent, and therefore maybe it has a different halacha, and therefore if it is split down to the leaves that are under it, then maybe it would be pasul. So the Gemara says, come in here, the Amr Rabbi Yochanan Rishu ben Levi, he said the following halacha, and let's make a dig from that halacha. He says, nitla hatayum is pasul. If that middle leaf is taken away, the lulav is pasul. My lav, wouldn't it make sense to say hu adin nechlika? The same would go if it's split. It's also invalidating that leaf, just like when it's taken away, and therefore it's going to be pasul. It will be more chamer than generally the case of nistak when the top leaves are split, because here it's the tiyumis, which is the most important one, that's the prominent one, the one that comes out of the center of the shedra, it's all the way on the top, that will say it's pasul. And the Gemara said, like, no, can't make such a dik. Nitlashani, when it's taken away, it's different. The hachasrali, because then it's not there anymore, it's lacking it. That's where Rabbi Yechanan said, in the name of Shimon Leib, it's going to be pasul. But maybe when it's split, that we say nechelka to yumis, maybe there it's going to be kasha. Ikadami, that those say a different version. The Amr Birchin or Mishum Levi, that he says exactly this halacha, the nechelka to yumis, if the middle leaf is split, these two sides are split down the middle, nasa kemishin itla to yumis, then it says if the tumis was taken away, upasal, and it's going to be invalid. So those are different versions of what he said. Did he say when it was taken, and therefore then we want to be medayik that the same would be to split, or maybe not? Or the second version actually had him saying this halacha, that split is like it was taken, and therefore it's going to be pasul. Now the Mishnah said, Rabbi Huda said regarding this halacha of nifridu olav, when they are separated, so although it's attached on the bottom, but they separate towards the top, the leaves all branch out, Rabbi Huda said that you should tie it up when it's on the top. So Tanya learned in the Braisa, which explains this halacha of Rabbi Huda, the Rabbi Huda Aimim Shem Reb Tarfin, it says in the Pasuk, when it defines the lulav, it says kapois tamar. Now the term kapois is kofus, that it should be tied, which means that if it's separated, then it should be tied. That's where he learns out this halacha from. Not like as the Gemara had had thought on the previous daf that maybe it's because it requires it for hadr beauty, that it shouldn't just be branching out, it should be tied up, going straight up with the shadr. No, it's because of the definition of kabbis tamar, which is the word kafis, which is tied up, that if it's nifrad, then it should be tied up on the top. Now, the Gemara asks a related question to this whole discussion. Amli Ravina lo Vashi, memai dehai kapis tamarim, from where do we know that this term of kapis tamarim, which is the Torah's definition of what should be one of the dalminim, dululavu, who is what we commonly know as the lulav, which is basically the soft branch that comes out of the palm tree, eim charusa, maybe say that it's charusa. Now, what charusa is that generally the way trees work is that the branches that come out of a tree, in this case the palm tree, after 2-3 years, the branch gets hard. Now, coming out of that branch are many lulavim that come out. Now, after that amount of time, the leaves from the lulav also fall off, and they themselves get hard too, and they become like a piece of wood. This one coming out this direction, this one coming out this direction, like other branches of the trees. So maybe that's what the reference of kapis tamarim is. How do we know that it's a reference to what we call the lulav? So that the Gemara says no, because be'inan kafis, we need that it should be bound. And that is, if it was separated, as we said, that it should be bound, v'leka, and that can't apply over here by the case of charusa. Because here, they're separated, and you can't go ahead and bind it together to have all the branches that separated to come together in one, to be able to bind them together by the root, which is what we're calling the branch, because it became hard. So again, there's layers over here. Our lulav is basically like the leaves of the branch. Now, therefore, the Gemara is saying, charusa, maybe that's what we're saying should be the lulav. That's the kapis tamarim. Now, the Gemara says no, because those lulavim, which got hard themselves, cannot be tied together with the branch to be kapis tamarim, which was saying that if it's nifrad, it should be kafis. The lulav, however, which its leaves, those leaves could be bound together when they branch out, when they are nifrad, and that's why it must be referenced to the lulav and not to the branches which have the lulavim that become hard, because that would not be able to be pulled together with the branch. And that the Gemara has, ve'im ufsa. However, let's say it's ufsa, which is from the trunk of the palm tree, which is smooth, and there's no branches coming out of it on either direction. So therefore, you don't have this problem, so to speak, of kafis, because it's only if you'll have nifrad that then you won't be able to tie it together. Here by the ufsa, by the trunk, there are no branches coming out. So say that's the trunk itself, that you should be able to use that as the lulav, and you won't have a problem of it being nifrad. And that the Gemara says no, because it says kafis. Mechlal de kaparit. From the fact that the Torah tells you that it should be kafis, it should be tied together if it separates, which sounds like that if it'll be separated initially, then you'll tie it together. This, by ufsa, doesn't apply because v'hai, kafis v'aymi lo'ilam. Here it always is intrinsically tied together because there are no branches coming out. So therefore, again, it must be the lulav, because the lulav is the case that can be kapis tamarim, that can be kafis. Whereas in contrast to the branches of the lulav, which is charusa, the lulavim, which when they get hard, cannot be tied together to the branch. And it also can't be the case of ufsa, because there are no branches in the first place to tie it together to say that you'll ever have an application of kafis, of the kapis tamarim. Now the Gemara asks, ve'imu kufra. Let's say it's the shoot. Now, what that is that's also a piece of wood, which is like the case of charusa. However, it's not yet 2-3 years old. It's just a year or two old, where the wood did not get so thick. You could still bend the branches by binding them together and tying them together to make them go up straight up to the root of where they're coming out from. Maybe that shoot is what should be the lulav, because then you combine the different things that are coming out of that shoot together, and that will be the lulav. How do you know it's the lulav? And that Abaye says, it's based on the pasuk of Mishlei, that says, Dirachecha darchei nayim. The ways of Torah are ways of sweetness. V'chol nesiv v'seh shalom k'siv. And the pasuk says that all its paths are peace. Now, these branches are, although they're not hard yet, and therefore they could be manipulated and tied together, however, they're made with thorns coming out of them, with different pointy things which will prick the person's hands. That's not tarchinayim. That's not peaceful ways to have to shake such a thing which will prick a person. And therefore, it must be that it's not that. It must be the lulav which is able to be utilized and it will be considered tarchinayim. And that's how we know that a kapis tamarim that could be bound must be referenced to what we call the lulav, which is some type of a an offshoot that comes out of the branches, which then you have the leaves that could be nifra, that could be tied together. Now, Amalei Rava Tosfot Rav, he asked him the following question. He says, how do you know it's any one of the things we said, including the lulav? The imitarti kapi de tamri. Let's just say that, you know what the lulav is? It's two clusters of dates. In other words, maybe it's dates themselves, not the tree, not the branches, not the lulav, because normative is that the dates grow in clusters together. Now the cluster is called a kaf. So when it says in the Torah, kaf is tamar, it means clusters of dates, two clusters, because kaf is a plural. Maybe that's what you're supposed to take as the fourth min. So that the Gemara says no, because kaf is ksiv. It's written without a vav, which is read as one, that it's only be one kaf. And therefore it can't be two clusters of dates. So the Gemara says mechada. But then let's say it's one cluster of dates. And then the Gemara says no, because lahu, one cluster of dates, kaf karle, is called a kaf of tamar. And now when the Torah says kapois, which is a reference to plural, but it's written in the singular, must be only, as we defined it before, that it's a reference to kafus, that it should be tied if it becomes parud. Now that would only be applicable on the leaves of the lulav. The lulav has its leaves that can be nifred, then they can be tied together, and therefore when it's saying kapis tamar, it must be that we're talking about the lulav, which can be used in the plural sense, that it has leaves, but also kafis, that it could be, and but it is still one, so therefore it could be referenced to one lulav. But again, it's a reference really to kafis, to tying it together, because it was a reference to the clusters, which are called kaf. It would be, since it's written in the singular, it would have to say kaf tamarim, and that kapis tamarim must be, it's not a reference to clusters of dates, but rather to what we know, which grows in the palm tree, that of the lulav in the stage that it's in. Now the Gemara continues that our Mishnah said, tzinehar habazel, the palm trees of the Iron Mountain. Now, regarding their lulavim, their leaves are very small, very scant on the spine, which the leaves are very far in the height one from the other. They're also very small in their length. Now, sometimes the leaves of these lulavim from the Har HaBazel, that the top of one leaf does not reach where the bottom of the one on top of it starts. Now, regarding these palm trees of the Iron Mountain, the Mishnah tells us kshera. The lulavim of those palm trees are going to be kasher. Now, however, Amabai Abai qualifies, as we just alluded to this, that there's different types where they could be grown. He says, Loishan, we didn't learn that they're going to be kasher. Elisharesha shalzeh, only if the top of one leaf of this lulav is magil, it said ikar shalzeh. If it reaches at least to the bottom of the leaf on top of it. Aval ein resha shalzeh, magil, it said ikar shalzeh, then puzzle. But if the top of one leaf that's covering the spine of the lulav does not reach the bottom of the next leaf, then it's going to be puzzle. And the Gemara says, Tanem Halacha, similar in the Braisa. The Braisa says, "Sin harbarz l'pal psula, the palm trees of the Iron Mountain, it's the love of my apostle." Now, the question is, "Well, not we learned our Mishnah share it's kasher." El shmamina kabayis, it must be like Abayat said, shmamina, that it depends. If we're talking about that it reaches, then it's going to be kasher, like our Mishnah says. If we're saying that it doesn't reach, which sometimes it does because they're very small and they're very far, so then it's going to be pasul, like the Braisa says. Actually, there are those who had posed it originally as a contradiction, the Mishnah and the Braisa. And once it was posed, then it was said the statement of Abaya to resolve the contradiction. Which now we learned in our Mishnah, Tzinahar Basel Kasher, that the palm trees of the Iron Mountain, that it's love ma kasher, but Tani Basula, but we learned the Braisa, it's possible. On that of Abaya, like Kasher, it's not difficult, because Kana, our Mishnah is talking about Shereisha Shalzeh, Magil Tzadikar Shalzeh, where the top of one leaf reaches the bottom of the other leaf. Khan, but the Braisa that said it's possible was Shein Reisha Shalzeh, Megil Tzadikar Shalzeh, where the top of one did not reach the bottom of the other one, and that's why it's going to be possible. Now, explaining on this, Amr Miriam, Amr B'Shum and Levi, Amrila, and some say it was Tani Rabba Bar Mori Mishum Reb Yechon and Zakai, at Shtei Tamaris, there were these two palm trees that Yesh Begay Ben Hanim, that was in the valley of Ben Hanim, which is near Yerushalayim, V'Oila Ashan Mebenem, and smoke would come out from between these two palm trees. This is in regards to what we had learned in our Mishnah, that Tzinehar Basilic Service, that the palm trees of the Iron Mountain, it's kosher, it was a reference to this place. And the Gemara tells us, Vizuyi Pischa Shal Gehenim, and this is the opening of Gehenim. That's why there was a smoke coming out of it, and those Lulavim had it that they were very far one from the other, and that they weren't so long, and that's why it had to be this discrepancy in the Mishnah, the Braisa, that the top of one at least reached the bottom of the other one, or else it's going to be possible. Now the Mishnah told us regarding the measurement of the lulav, the lulav sheyesh b'shleisha tefachim, a lulav that has a height of three tefachim, and that it could be shaken. then such a lulav is going to be kasher. So relating to this, the Gemara will introduce the Amorek statement and ask from it from our Mishnah. Amar Yehuda Mishmol says, Shir Hadas V'Arava Shlesha, the measurement of the myrtles of the Hadassim and the Arava of the willow has to be 3 Tvachim. V'Lulav Arba, and the lulav has to be 4 Tvachim. And that should be, the reason why it should be like that, is so that the lulav should go out from the top of the hadassim, a height of at least a tefach, just like the lulav is naturally higher than all the other types of the hadassim, the rabbis. So too, when it's being held, it should have, that the lulav should be sticking out at least a tefach over the hadassim. But Peran the Chomer B'yechnu, he argues, he says, not just that the leaves of the lulav should be sticking out a tefach over the hadassim, but rather shedrish shalulam. The spine, besides the leaves, and that's because the leaves go very long after the shedra ends, where there's no more leaves coming out attached to the spine that's in the middle, but there's still leaves that go up above that spine. And that he's saying, it's not enough just to have the lulav, which includes its leaves, to go a tefach over the hadassim, but actually the spine of the lulav, tzarech sheyitzim and hadas tefach, has to stick out from the hadassim a tefach. That's the machlokes they have regarding this height differential between the lulav and the hadassim. Now, the Gemara asks, now we learned in our Mishnah, lulav sheyesh be gimel tvachim, a lulav that has a height of 3 tvachim, kedei l'neaboy, that it has enough that you could shake and the leaves and it's going to shake. So kasher, such a lulav is going to be kasher. So you see that our Mishnah says 3 tvachim and that's it, which is not like either one of these two amiram, where one said it has to be 4 tvachim, which with its leaves, and one says 4 tvachim even just with its shedra, and that's going to be even higher with its leaves. Yet our Mishnah says just 3 tvachim. Now the Gemara says, Ema, actually we should read in our Mishnah that it wasn't one statement, that it should be 3 tvachim that you could shake with. There's a vav there. And that you could shake with it, then it's going to be kasher. In other words, this that comes out when you're bundling together the lulav, the hadassim, and the aravis, that you'll have besides the 3 tefachim of the height of the lulav, which is the same as the others, you're going to have another tefach sticking out from where it's bundled, that you could shake, then it's going to be kasher. Now, mark this, like one opinion like that of Shmuel will hold that it's a tefach even with the leaves, that's enough of another tefach just of the top of the leaves to shake it. Mark this, like Rabbi Yochanan, who his opinion was that not just a tefach of the leaves, but even a tefach of the shedra above the rest, then those leaves on top of that will be able to be shaken. That's the two opinions. Therefore, according to either one, it's not a contradiction from our Mishnah. Because actually our Mishnah is not one statement, it's two statements. You should have it to be 3 tefachim, and above that, to have what to shake, either it means a tefach of leaves or a tefach of shedra, and on top of that, the leaves to be able to shake that. Now, the one says, Tashma, come in here, a question to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Learn the Braisa, Shir Hadas Va'arav Shlesha, the measurement of the hadassim and the rabbis have to be 3 tefachim. The lulav arba and the lulav has to be 4 tefachim. So the Gemara asks, my lav bahadi olin, doesn't it make sense that it's saying the total amount of the lulav, which means with the leaves, only has to be 4 tefachim, which is a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that no, it has to be more than that, because just the spine has to be 4 tefachim. And that the Gemara says, loy lavad mil, no, when the Braisa said that the lulav has to be 4 tefachim, it was saying 4 tefachim just of the shedra besides for the leaves. So the Gemara goes back to this braisa we just quoted, Gufa, we had learned, Shir Hadas V'Arava Shleisha, the Tanakhama said that the measurement of the Hadassim and the myrtle and the willow has to be 3 tvachim, but Lulav Arba and the Lulav has to be 4 tvachim. Reb Tarfonai, he says, Ba'ama Bas Chamisha Tvachim, it has to be an Ama that's composed of 5 tvachim, and that is generally an Ama is 6 tvachim, but sometimes we can measure an Ama with 5 tvachim. So now the Gemara assumes now, what Reb Tarfonai is saying, is that the Hadassim and the Aravis have to be not just, as the Tanakhama said, 3 tvachim. It actually has to be an amma, when an amma is made up of 5 tvachim, so it's going to have to be 5 tvachim, not 3 tvachim. Now, on regard to that statement, Amma Rava said, Sharulei Mori L'Reb Tarfon. The master of Reb Tarfon, in other words, the reference to Hashem, should forgive Reb Tarfon. And that is, he has to ask mercy, he has to ask mechila, forgiveness, for the words that he said. Because as follows, Rava said, Hashta avish loyshe lemeshkechinan, if we cannot find hadassim that are 3 tefachim to be appropriate, to be considered anaf eitz avos, which that means it has to be plaited like a braid, as the Gemara will later explain. Now, the majority of the length of the hadassim that we find are hadas shaita, which means say they're not exactly as it has to be mishalosh, it has to be 3 on one row along the the length of the entire hadas. Now, if we can't find hadasim that have a height of 3 tvachim, bas chamisha mebaya, do you think we're going to find hadasim that are 5 tvachim in the length? And he says you have to have an amah bas chamisha, and he's making it so challenging for the Jewish people. We could barely find kosher hadasim, and now he wants it to be 5 tvachim. However, when Rav Dimi came, he explained the statement of Reb Tarfon that wouldn't have this problem that Rav was saying, that it's such a chumrah of Reb Tarfon, because Amr, he said that this statement of Reb Tarfon was only a small stringency, because really he also agrees to the Tanakhama that the length of the Hadassim and the Rabbis only have to be 3 tefachim. It's just that he was estimating it with larger tefachim. And this is what he was saying to the Tanakhama. He said that these tefachim should be larger tefachim, and that is, 5 of them, of these tefachim, should fill up what would normally be a regular amma, which is generally composed of 6 regular-sized tefachim. And that, he's saying, don't break it up into 6 parts, break it up into 5 parts, and then you're going to have 3 out of those 5 being for the hadasim. As follows, as the Gemara explains. Amma bas shisha tefachim. An amma that's generally composed of 6 tefachim, that, he says, cut up those big tefachim, and asa isa bas chamisha, make them into 5 tefachim, make them even bigger. And which means to say that the amma is usually cut into 6 parts, which each part is a tefach, cut up that amma into 5 parts. So that means each tefach is going to be larger than normally. And that is what he said, simehen shalosh lahadas, then take 3 of those tefachim. That's going to be the measurement of the hadas being 3 tefachim. Vahashar, and the rest, which is a reference to another tefach, the lulav will be for the lulav, and that is the quarter more that you add on for the lulav, should be also from these larger tefachim. And therefore, it's not such a stringency. He also agrees it's 3 tefachim, just a little bit larger, another fifth of the is going to be each tefach. Now, the Gemara asks, Sakama havlu. So according to Reb Tarfon, what's going to be the measurement of the hadas and the araba? It's going to be tlasa, it's going to be 3 medium-sized tefachim with tlasa chumshi, with another added 3/5, because he's making these larger tefachim, he's cutting up the amah, not into 6 parts, but into 5 parts. Now, if that's the case, the Gemara asks, kasha de b'shmul ad shmul, so we have a contradiction in the halachas of Shmuel, because hacham Rabbi Huda m'shmul, because here Rabbi Huda said the name of Shmuel, there's shir hadas v'arabah shleishi, said the measurement of the hadas and the arabah is just 3 tefachim. Yet we have Rav Huna saying name Shmuel, that halacha follows Reb Tarfon, which is not just 3 tefachim. As we just explained, according to Reb Tarfon, it's a stringency, not such a stringency, so it's not sharle mare, but it's 3 tefachim and 3/5. So how can he say that it's halacha that it's 3 tefachim? I thought the Gemara says, Loidok, Shmuel was not so precise when he said the halacha is there's 3 tefachim. He really meant 3 3/5. It just, he wasn't so precise. He just rounded off to 3 tefachim. Now that the Gemara asked, Imadamin Leidak, when do we say in halacha that we're quoting the statement of a Talmud Chacham that we could say he wasn't precise? We say lechumra. If it comes out as a stringency, he rounded it off to the more stringent. Lekula mirmin loydak. Do we say as a leniency that he wasn't precise? If the halacha falls like Reb Tarfon, that has to be 3 3/5. Would we say he would round it off to 3? Maybe if he said he rounded it off to 4, I could understand. But to 3, you're going to have a pasla hadas according to Reb Tarfon. If the halacha falls like Reb Tarfon, you can't say he wasn't precise when he said 3. So rather, therefore, ki as Ravin Amma, when Ravin came, he said an explanation of Reb Tarfon, a different interpretation. He said, actually, Amma bas chamisha tfachim. If you have an Amma that's composed of 5 regular tefachim, which would be a smaller sized amma. And that is what Reb Tarfon said. Asa isa shisha, make that amma into 6, split it up into 6 parts, which means to say actually that you're going to have smaller tefachim. Tzeimehen shleish lahadas, and therefore you're going to have 3 of those smaller tefachim for hadas. Vahashar lululav, and the rest, in other words, another tefach for lulav, and what comes out actually is not like Rava, which was making it sound like he's really stringent, not even like the previous interpretation that's a little bit more stringent. Actually, Reb Tarfon is a makel. He's being lenient. He's saying it actually is less than 3 tefachim. And what he meant, the way to interpret his words in the Braisa, is what he said to the Tanakhama was, said those 3 tefachim that we're estimating that we say is the shear of the hadas. Now, generally, 3 tefachim is a half a amma. And that Reb Tarfon said, these tefachim, I want them to be smaller tefachim. Now, they're not going to be the half a amma of 3/6. They're going to be in an amma that's 5 tefachim. You're going to take it and split it into 6 parts. What comes out is going to be less than a half. You'll have 3/6 of when it would be in 6 tvachim, which is really 5 tvachim, so you're making it less than 3 tvachim. So therefore the Gemara asks still, kama havlu. So how much does it come out according to Reb Tarfon? Trei upalka. It actually comes out to 2.5 tvachim, because we're making each tefach small, and you only needed to have 3 of those tvachim. Now, if so, the Gemara says, save kasha d'shmol d'shmol, but still, you're still left with this contradiction of Shmuel. On the one hand, it's said in his name that the it has to be 3 tvachim, and yet when we say that he's saying the halach is like Reb Tarfon, it only has to be 2.5 tvachim. That the Gemara answers, loy dog. The Shmuel was not precise when he said the measurement of the hadas, and he just rounded off to 3, which, although the halach is like Reb Tarfon, that is enough to be 2.5 tvachim, v'hainu l'chumr loy dog, and stringently he wasn't precise. The Amr of Huna Mashmul, halacha Reb Tarfon, because actually halacha is a Reb Tarfon. It only has to be 2.5 tvachim. But that, when he rounded off, he said, oh, it has to be 3 tvachim, and that can be done when it's going to be l'chumra. But really, the halacha is 2.5. He was just rounding it off, and he wasn't precise. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on to the next of the Dal Minim, that of Hadassim of Myrtles. So the Mishnah tells us, similar as it did regarding the halachas of Lulav, that a hadas, a myrtle, ha-gazl v'hayavish, pasal, if it was stolen or if it dried out, it's going to be pasal. Shal asher v'shil anidachas, pasal, if it's from a nasheri tree, which is a tree that was served as an idol, and a city that the majority of inhabitants had served the avodah zarah, which were incited by the inhabitants themselves that lived there, pasal, such a lulav is going to be pasal. Nikdam reisha, if the top of the hadas gets cut, chopped off, or nifritzu olav, or if its leaves get, if they fell off, or if the grapes, which these are some type of berries which are similar to grapes that grow on the hadasim, if they're merubis me'olav, if they're more than the leaves themselves, pasal, such a had is going to be pasal. Ve'imi'ita and kasha, but if someone diminishes them, if someone actually takes off the berries, and then they're the minority of the leaves, then such a had is going to be kasha. However, the Mishnah tells us that Ein Yomtiv, one is not allowed to do that on Yomtiv, because that's like Mesakin Mam, it's fixing the Hadas to be able to utilize it for the Mitzvah of Lulav, and that's not permitted on Shabbos and on Yomtiv. Now the Gemara says, to explain, how do we know the Hadas is the Hadas? Tarban, we'll learn in the Braisa. There's a Pasuk in the Yikra that describes this one of the Dalad Minim. It says, Anaf Eitz Avos. It's the shoot of the plaited tree. Now, what that sounds like it's saying is that the entire shoot is what the entire tree is covered with these shoots, which are covered with their leaves. And that's because the leaves are plaited, which each one is laying on the other, as the Gemara explains, sha'anaf of chayfen es eitzai, that the shoots cover the tree. You don't even see the tree because the shoots are covering. Now, generally, if you just have shoots, you'll be able to see in the gaps. But since the shoots themselves are covered with the leaves, which are plaited around, so therefore it's entirely covered, those shoots, which then goes and covers the entire tree. Now, ve'ezahu, on that the Braisa says, which one of these trees are like that? Hava'im ezahadus, that's a reference to the myrtle tree, which is something that has its leaves entirely covering the shoots, which entirely cover the tree. And that's how we know that's what's anaf, eitz avos, it's the shoots of the plaited tree, which entirely covers the tree. That the Gemara asks Ve'im Ezeisa. Let's say it's the olive tree, which all the leaves are very long and they're consecutive. And since there's many of them, it covers the entire tree. So maybe that should be the Anaf Eitz Avos. And that the Gemara says no, because although it's covering the tree, but there's a different one of the criteria that's missing, being an avos, it has to be, as the Pasuk says, plaited, which is like a chain, which one is laying on the other. Now, Valeka, you don't have that on the olive tree, so though it's totally covered, but since it doesn't have this plating, therefore, it's not going to be kasher. The Gemara says ve'im adova. Let's say it's the chestnut tree, which is plated. On that, the Gemara answers it has that criteria. But be'inan anafin chayfin aseitz v'leka. But we also need the other criteria, which that the branches, the shoots, will cover the tree, and that you don't have because here the leaves are not consecutive enough to entirely cover. So although that they're plated, but they're not going to be enough to cover the entire tree, and therefore it's missing the other criteria. Now the Gemara asks, if a hirduf, let's say it's this hirduf tree where it is plated and it has the leaves that are covering the tree, so maybe that's enough as eitz avos. So the Gemara gives two reasons why it can't be. Am Abaye says, according to Pasuk and Mishlei, derecheh darchinayim b'leka, we need to have that the ways of Torah are sweet, and that you don't have by the hirduf, because here it has like different thorns, different pointy things coming out of the tip, which are sharp like needles. and therefore for one to take such a hada, such a tree as its branches for the halacha of anaf etz ilvis wouldn't be noyim, and therefore that can't be the interpretation of anaf etz ilvis. Rava Amahacha, he says, based on the pasuk in Zechariah, where it says, ha'emes v'hasholem ehavu, truth and peace you should love. Now, as Rashi explains, this hirduv is neither truth nor peace, because it's made for a poison which will kill things, which is not truthful, and it's not peaceful, and therefore it mustn't be that that's the interpretation of anaf etz ilvis, and that's why we're left just with the hadasim. Tanaban, we learned the price. Now the Gemara is going to clarify, how do we know that it's the Hadis interpreting these two terms of Anaf Eitz and Avis, where the two different opinions, one will be interpreting Avis, one will be returning Anaf Eitz Avis. The first opinion will be explaining the term of Avis. It should be Kalua Kimin Kalia, it should be plated like a braid, but Demel Shalshalis, and should be like a chain. Zehu Hadis, that is the Hadasim, which it's plated one with the other, as the Gemara will illustrate shortly, and that's the term of Avis that we see in the Pasuk. Lezer ben Yaakov, I mean, he says, based on the first words of Anaf Eitz, he says, Anaf Eitz Avis, the Pasuk says, the shoot of the plated tree. Now what that means is the Eitz, it has to be a tree, Shtam Eitzo Yapir Yeshava, that the taste of the tree and of the fruit is the same. Havoim is a Hadis, let's say that's a reference to the Hadis, which has the same taste, and that's how we know, again from these two different sources, that this is going to be the Hadis when it says in the Pasuk Anaf Eitz Avis. So Tana, we learned the Braisa regarding this halacha that we were discussing, which the first Braisa discussed. How do we know that it's the Hadassim? Because it's the enough of Achayf and this Eitzai. How so? Because they're plated. So the Braisa says, Eitz Avis Kasher. If it's, as the Pasuk says it has to be, that it's the plated tree, then it's going to be Kasher. V'she'in Avis Pasul, but if it's not plated, then it's not going to be Kasher. And we said, which one is the one that covers the tree and is plated? That's the Hadass. Now the Gemara asks, Heichidami Avis. Now what is this halacha of that the hadasim have to be plated, which will then qualify for anaf etz avis to be a kosher hadas for the dal minim on sukkahs. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "V'hudi kaimi tlosa tlosa tarpi b'kin." He says you have to have three leaves coming out of the same base, same kan, which means to say it's coming out of the same ukit, same bud, which really ultimately means that it's on the same row. So you have that there's rows where they're coming out from, going up along the length of this one twig of the hadas. You have to have that the leaves are coming out three on each row. That will be plated where it's entirely covering the shoot, which that shoot is entirely covering the tree, which is what we call in halacha mishulashim, that we have three on the same part of the stem. Rav Kahana, he says, no, afilu trei v'chad. He says, even if it's two and one, which means to say that you have two leaves coming out on the same row, the same okets, and you have one leaf below it, which then that goes and covers over the two on top of it. That will also be considered three, which will be plated. And therefore in halacha, actually Rav Acha Brei de Rava, he was mahadra atrei v'chad. He would actually pursue to find such a hadas that's only two and one, because although when you have three on one row, most definitely it's going to be kasher, so why'd he go after which would seem possibly a lesser madrega? Because since this psak came out of the mouth of Rav Kahana, which he said that's also going to qualify as avis, of plating, even though it's not in the same row, but it goes and covers and therefore we'll consider them together. So he dafka went for that one to illustrate and demonstrate his allegiance to that psak. However, Amalei Mar Bar Memel Rav Ashi, he says that not everyone agreed to this halacha. He says, Abba, my father, lahu, to that one which had two leaves and one beneath it, Hadas Shaita Karli. He actually called that a deranged Hadas, which means to say that it was not an appropriate Avis, and therefore that's going to be Pasul, and therefore it's not according to everybody that to have two and one beneath it is going to be Kasha. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings up Braisa, Tarabanan. Nashru Roiv Olav. If the majority of the leaves of the Hadas fell off, which means to say that if you have this Avis, which is along the entire length of the Hadas, you have three in every row, so if the majority fell off, that means two from every row, but and b'nishtar b'miyut, and you're only left with a minority of the leaves, kasher, such a had is going to be kasher. Ubavach te'avoisekemis, as long as, however, that you have its intrinsic quality of it being plated. Now, the Gemara asks right away, hakufa kasher. That seems to be an internal contradiction. It's paradoxical to say that. Amrit nashurev olav kasher. He said that if the majority of the leaves fall off, it's going to be kasher, which means that from every row, you had three, two fell off, you left one. V'hadetani, and then you go in the same sentence and you say, as long as you retained its fact that it's plated. Yeah, but kiva nenasu lutrei, if the majority, which is two, already fell off, how can you have this plating, again, which is that you have it's braided where it's entirely covering one leaf over the other and covering the entire length of the hadas by having one covering up? You can't have avos because you're only left with one on each row. So what does that mean, that it's kosher if the majority falls off, but as long as you retain this avos? Some Abayabai says, you're right, but we're talking about Mishkachas, so you can find this halacha of the Braisa, and we continue on top of Lama Gimel Alf, but Asar Mitzra, which Rashi gives two interpretations, either means that from the term of Meitzar, that it's a type of hadas that grows on the boundaries of the field, where since there's open room over there, so it grows beautifully, and therefore it fits the criteria that we're going to say in the moment, or it actually means from the term of Mitzra, of Mitzrayim, which we're talking about the Egyptian hadasim. Either way, we're talking about certain hadasim that grow with many leaves. The kaimi shiva shiva b'chad kina, where you have seven leaves on each row. Now, there you could have the halacha l'braisa. The chinasri abba, because then when four out of the seven leaves, which are the majority of the leaves, fall off, pashul hutlasa, you're still left with three. So even though the majority fell off, you'll still be able to have avos as long as you have that it's plated, where it's being covered by having three in on the same row, which will then cover the entire part of the hadas, the wood of it, then it's going to be kasher. Not related to this, Abaye says Shmamina, but one thing that we do infer, at least from this whole halacha, is that Hai Asa Mitzra, that this, either this, the hadasim of the boundary, or the Egyptian one, either one, it's the one that has seven leaves that grow on each row, is kasher leishan, it's going to be kasher for the hadasim. Now the Gemara is Peshito, why would you think that's not kasher? Because it has more leaves? Now that the Gemara says, Madatim, I would have thought to say, Hoil v'isle shim levai le miskasher, since it has an accompanying name, which means to say, it's not just a hadas, it has another name to it, which means it's not the authentic hadas. It has an attached name, which many times we find in halacha, that means it's not that thing, because it's not just an asa, it's an asa mitzra. So therefore I would say it's not kasher. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush that we're saying, that Abaye said, is that we see from the braisa that it is going to be kasher. Now the Gemara asks, v'im hachinami, but why is it kasher? Say as we do many times in halacha, that it's not the authentic asa, it's an asa mitzra, which is not the halacha which was said. That the Gemara answers, no, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that it has to be a hados or an asa. It's avos amrachmana. The Torah just tells you that it has to be the plated tree. Mikamakum, that's in any way. It doesn't have to be just three. Three is the minimum. If you have seven, it's also going to be plated and covering the branch, which is the shoot, which is covering the tree. And therefore, that's going to be a kashra hadas for the halachas of the dal minim atzokas. A related halacha, to what we said regarding when the majority of the leaves, something happens to them that invalidates them. So talking about the braisa yavshu, regarding if they dry up, roiv olav, if the majority of the leaves of the hadas dry up, but v'nisharu by shleisha bade, but you're left with three stems that have olam lachin, that have moist leaves. Now, we're talking about that you have to have, as the halach is, that the ishanas have to have, you have to have three stems. Now, every stem has three moist leaves. Now, the reason why it has to have at least three moist leaves is because less than three leaves, it's not going to be avos. It has to be, at least the term is enough, it's avos, although the majority is going to be dried out, which is problematic. However, you have to at least determine a definition of enough, it's avos. It has to be plated. So it has to have at least three that will then be able to have this halacha of avos. So even though that majority are dry, kosher, such a hod is going to be kosher. However, Amar Rav Chizra does qualify this halach, and he says, Uberoish kol echad v'echad. He says, as long as it's on the top of each one of these stems, so you have your three hadasim, where you have these moist leaves, they have to be on the top of the stem. But if you had this one row, at least it's going to be obvious in one part of this hadas, that will not be considered hadar, because the top is all dried out and the whole rest is dried out. You only have one row in the middle that's going to be avos, which was not dried out. That will not be enough. Although we're saying a kula, a very big leniency regarding to the when it's dried out, the hadasim, which is an invalidating factor by hadasim, that we say it's enough if there's one row that you have these three leaves that are moist, which is avos, that'll be kosher. It's only if it's on the top of the hadas, then it'll be valid for hadar. If not, even though you have the one row in the middle for it to be avos, it won't be hadar, and therefore it's going to be pasul.